May the Lord help us to commence our service by singing hymn number 15. How shall I praise the eternal God, that infinite unknown? Who can ascend his high abode or venture near his throne? Hymn number 15.
Thank you. from the Holy Word of God. Let us turn to read this evening in Paul's second epistle to the Corinthians, reading chapter 12 and part of chapter 13. The second epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 12, then reading from chapter 13 from verse 7. But firstly, chapter 12. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell. Or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise, and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. I am become a fool in glorying. Ye have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you. For in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. For what is it wherein ye were inferior to other churches, except it be that I myself was not burdensome to you? Forgive me this wrong. Behold, the third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you. For I seek not yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. and I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. But be it so. I did not burden you. Nevertheless, being crafty, I caught you with guile. Did I make a gain of you by any of them whom I sent unto you? I desired Titus, and with him I sent a brother. Did Titus make a gain of you? Walked we not in the same spirit? Walked we not in the same steps? Again, think ye that we excuse ourselves unto you? We speak before God in Christ. But we do all things, dearly beloved, for your edifying. For I fear, lest when I come, I shall not find you such as I would, and that I shall be found unto you such as ye would not. Lest there be debates, envyings, wraths, strifes, backbitings, whisperings, swellings, tumults, and lest when I come again, my God will humble me among you, and that I shall bewail many which have sinned already, and have not repented of the uncleanness, and fornication, and lasciviousness which they have committed. Verse 7 of the next chapter. Now I pray to God that ye do no evil. Not that we should appear approved, but that ye should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates. For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. For we are glad when we are weak and ye are strong. And this also we wish, even your perfection. Therefore I write these things being absent, lest being present I should use sharpness, according to the power which the Lord hath given me to edification, and not to destruction. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. Greet one another with an holy kiss. All the saints salute you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. May the Lord bless unto us each the reading of his holy and sacred word, and may he help us now to pray. O thou most holy, holy, holy God, as we have sung in our opening hymn, fit us now, Lord, to approach unto thee, even to the footstool of thy mercy. For, Lord, even this day and throughout our lives, we have committed many sins and transgressions. Lord, we have transgressed thy holy law in our thoughts, our words, our deeds, and in the desires of our hearts. But we thank thee, Lord, we can gather together even this night, to plead the precious name of Jesus and to plead his sin-atoning blood, to plead his wondrous righteousness, that we be found accepted before thee through the merit and work of thine only begotten Son. Lord, we come with no merit of our own. It's nothing in our hand we bring. Simply to that cross we cling. Oh, do look, Lord, in mercy upon us assembled here this night. Many, Lord, perhaps come from busy scenes, from many duties and responsibilities in this earthly life. Much to hide thee from our sight and from our minds, that thou art not in all our thoughts. And Lord, when we lose sight of thee, how quickly we fall a prey. Our lust and pride, through power and craft, they carry us away. And, O Lord, we suffer from the plague of unbelief that puts within us many doubts and many fears, contradicting thy gracious word. And our hearts deceitful above all things and desperately wicked would have us go our own way, a way which seems right unto us. But we have not asked at thy mouth. Lord, such are we before thee this night. But thou art a gracious God. Thou knowest our frame. Thou rememberest that we are but dust, sinners of this earth, finite in our being, and cannot deliver us ourselves at all from one of our transgressions. Lord, we are guilty before thee this night. But we plead that precious name. O Lord, do look upon us through thy dear Son and hear the prayers of every heart that is poured out before thee. Lord, the prayers of those who have come here this night seeking some token for the good of their soul. Those, Lord, who have come in thanksgiving for thy many mercies, those favours, Lord, thou hast graciously imparted. And Lord, do we not come in both those states in thanksgiving and to plead with thee for more tokens of thy heavenly love? Oh, do put within us a true spirit of worship, that we can worship thee in spirit and in truth. We pray thou wilt help us to sing thy praises. The hymns, Lord, that have been chosen, also make them real prayer from our hearts. Bless thy word of truth, the portion we have read. Lord, the pure, holy word of thine. Oh, do not let it fall to the ground, but Lord, cause it to abide in our hearts, something there to do us good. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt hear each prayer, each petition, whether audible or silent, and grant the answers, Lord, which thou art able to give, to supply every need. Lord, bless the opening up of thy word to us. For without thee we can do nothing. For Lord, it's not my words alone that can do us any good, but that which is in the power of thy Spirit, and then in much assurance. So cause, Lord, us to hear thy voice this night, and do not send us untouched, empty away. We ask thy blessing, Lord, upon every gathering together here. O Lord, continue to favour thy people. Lord, those that are engaged here to preach the gospel, use them to the honour and glory of thy name. Lord, do speak through them. Use them, that there may be those, Lord, that hear thy voice and quickened by thy word. Lord, that are given that hope of eternal life through thy blessing upon their soul. And oh, may they be able to testify of it to the honour and glory of thy great and holy name. Lord, we would seek thy glory in this wicked world. A world, Lord, an ungodly world, even in our own nation. Lord, may this place here, oh, be a true sanctuary, as it were like a city upon a hill that cannot be hid. And Lord, may there be many in this village of Swavesey and in the areas round about drawn to the courts of this place, the courts of thy house, wrought upon by thy Spirit, seeking their soul's salvation. And in seeking may they find. Oh, do build up, Lord, thy church in this evil day. We ask thy blessing, Lord, upon the children and the young people. Lord, the growing generations, O Lord, maintain them in thy love and in thy tender care. Lord, do watch over them and keep them from all harms, dangers, all wickedness and every evil. And do not let them be tempted and enticed away from depending upon thy word of truth. O, do set thy cross before their eyes. Help them ever to look unto Jesus. And Lord, enable them to pray for the forgiveness of their sins and for the blotting out of all their transgressions. And Lord, do love them freely. May the children grow as lambs of thy fold. And Lord, as young people to grow into the sheep of thy pasture. Lord, thy blessing to rest upon them, called by grace. And Lord, thy Son Jesus Christ revealed within them the hope of glory. Lord, help them daily in education and occupation. Be with them in friendships, relationships. Lord, in the marriage bond, in the bringing up of young children. Oh Lord, whatever pathway they are in, we ask thee to draw near and be present with them. And may from them, Lord, there be those to be established as sound members of thy church, mothers in Israel, deacons, ministers, pastors, Lord, for the fervence of the proclamation and practice of the gospel. O Lord, may we know it ourselves who are older, how we need to be kept in that straight and narrow way. Here's our hearts, Lord, oh, prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it. Seal it from thy courts above. O Lord, keep us a firm hold through thy righteousness. Lord, keep us close to that riven side of Christ, ever pleading and depending and sheltering beneath that precious blood of the Lamb of God. Help us, Lord, in all that comes in our pathways of life, the troubles and the joys, the things, Lord, that rise seemingly against us, and perhaps in Jacob's pathway all these things are against me. But, Lord, all those things were in thy hand, and thy hand is a gracious hand that shall yet work all things together for good. For those that love thee, for those who are the called according to thy purpose. O Lord, increase our faith, that where thou hast called us by thy grace, thou wilt only increase that faith within us, to trust in thee at all times, to pour out our hearts before thee, and prove thee to be our refuge. Remember any, Lord, that are unable to be here tonight. We pray for them where they are. Perhaps some detained by business, responsibilities. Maybe there's some away, Lord, at this time on a holiday. And maybe those, Lord, in sickness, feeling unwell. Those who have care of the children. Lord, thou knowest where they are. Oh, we do pray for them. Grant thy blessing upon them and keep them safe from every snare and from every evil. Lord, remember any that are bereaved of loved ones. Lord, be to them the God of all comfort, the Father of all mercies. And where loved ones, Lord, are taken away, we pray thou wilt give them more of thine own self, more tokens of thy heavenly love. Lord, we lay these things before thee, and we would not forget our own nation at this time. O Lord, have mercy upon us, for we have transgressed and fallen greatly from the way of thy word of truth. We have denied thy name, even thy being. We count thy word as nothing worth. And Lord, the judgments rise against those who seek to walk humbly and practice in a God-honoring way the Christian faith. Lord, we pray for our government and prime minister. O Lord, give them wisdom by thy spirit. Help them to turn about many ungodly statutes that affect the legislation of our land. And in the negotiations with Europe, O Lord, may they prevail in that which is good for us in accordance with thy will. Your Lord still be the God of this our land. And may all adown to thine honour and to thy glory, that all the nations of the earth may realize there is yet a God in heaven who favors, yea, even a sinful people. Lord, we do pray that thou wilt maintain our Protestant liberties, our freedom of worship. And may, Lord, there be many brought forth to give thee all the honor and glory for thy mercy unto their souls. Hear us, Lord, in all these things. Pardon anything we ask amiss. We seek to ask all things in the name of Jesus, and for his sake alone. Amen.
Hymn 482. In heaven my choicest treasure lies, my hopes are placed above the skies. 'Tis Christ, the bright and morning star, draws my affections from afar. Hymn 482.
Thank you.
pray dependence upon our Lord that he may open up and speak through his own word unto us each. I'd ask your prayerful attention by a way of text to the second epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 12, and that well-known portion in verse 9. Second epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 12, especially the first clause of verse 9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. And he, the Lord God Almighty, said unto me, poor tried Apostle Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Dear friends, these words are none other and the words of Almighty God, spoken through the merits of his Son. My grace is sufficient for thee. And dear friends, how needful such an expression is, to be spoken by the Lord in power, in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance to those who fear God, those who know a great trial of their faith, and may be walking in the plague of unbelief and doubts and fears. My grace is sufficient for thee. Dear friends, there's nothing else that can suffice one who fears God, one who has been taught of their own sin and transgression and dreadful state before a holy God as they continue in the path of life. Dear friends, may this be a word to some of you here tonight who are in need of it. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. What is this grace? Well, you've perhaps heard it expressed in various ways. Quite often it is expressed as the unmerited favour of God. You may have heard it expressed using the letters of the word itself, God's riches at Christ's expense. Now both of those are true. We read in Paul's own words in his epistle to the Ephesians, as he opens up that epistle to that church, concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Dear friends, what a sweet expression that is. Redemption through his blood. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. His grace bound up in this work of redemption for the forgiveness of sins, for the cleansing of the soul. Dear friends, this grace is spiritual, isn't it? When we consider redemption, we know if there is no price paid, there is no redeeming of that which is in the hands of others. For something to be redeemed, it has to be bought back. There were those in captivity. Dear friends, they had to be redeemed, that they may take then their own proper possession. And under the law, redemption can only be performed by a near kinsman. Oh, well, the type of redemption in the Old Testament under the law testifies of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came to save his people from their sins. Sold under sin, bound by Satan, slaves to sin, born there, dead in trespasses and in sins, cannot purchase their release, cannot pay the ransomed price demanded by the law for sin. Helpless, hopeless. And so, dear friends, all those of Adam's race are born in such a state. But the price of redemption has been paid. The price demanded by the law has been paid. And what great riches those were. And what great riches they are. Not the silver and gold of this world. No one could possess, dear friends, sufficient wealth in this world to purchase their own soul, to redeem it and bring it into the knowledge of the way of salvation. It's completely the wrong currency. This is not of this world. These riches are not of this world. But these are the riches given by God through the merit of his Son, who gave his own life, a sacrifice for sin, the payment, his own heart's blood. The sinless for the sinner. Dear friends, there is no other way, is there, that we can have a hope of eternal life. Dear friends, it's been very much with me of late concerning being left to a providential religion. A religion that just prays to God and hopes to God for the ease of our flesh and the comforts of an earthly life. That constitutes much of our prayers, doesn't it? And the Lord is able to supply our needs. He has promised to supply our needs. We are not to withhold praying for our providential needs. But if that's all we long for the Lord for, dear friends, our religion will be in vain. Like when the Lord Jesus said to those of the 5,000 who he fed, Ye sought me not before, cause ye saw the miracle, because ye ate of the loaves and were filled. Dear friends, how many seek unto the Lord just for the good of an earthly life? They did not perceive the miracle, oh, of the grace of God unto needy sinners, for his mercy and compassion toward them, that though they were unworthy of the least of his mercies, yes, he supplied their need. There was no conviction of their sin and unworthiness, was there? But when the apostle Peter, when the Lord Jesus said to him, launch forth and let down thy net for a draught. Peter launched forth. He didn't let down all the nets, as Jesus said. He let down one net. And that net was absolutely full of fishes, that the boat began to lower in the water, and their other friends who they had to call to help. Peter fell at Jesus' feet. Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. Oh, Peter didn't glory there, did he? In all the fishes he'd obtained, that they could sell and obtain great riches of this earth. And that was why he wanted to follow the Lord Jesus. No. Dear friends, it was sanctified to his soul. I'm a sinful man, O Lord. Oh, he doubted the Lord's word, didn't he? When the Lord said, let down the nets, and he only let down one. Depart from me, I'm a sinful man, I'm unworthy of the least of thy mercies. You know, dear friends, those are the ones whom the Lord has mercy upon. Those are the ones whom the Lord, they'll find grace in his sight. Nothing of themselves, guilty sinners, in need of his grace. Oh, the Lord Jesus came to save his people from their sins. The manifestation of this grace, the redemption of their soul, the price paid, his own bloodshed. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And through faith in his name, faith in Christ, which he gives, there is forgiveness of sins. In whom we have redemption through his blood. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Now, dear friends, that's our sufficiency for heaven above. It's our only sufficiency for heaven above. We just sung, haven't we, a sweet hymn, that those who feel and know what is to rest from sin and woe, and all my soul be tuned to sing the praises due to Christ my King. Dear friends, those are the quickened souls. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sin. But God, oh, the sovereignty of God. Dear friends, we would never get to heaven unless there was the sovereignty of God. Who in his love toward us, that whilst we were yet in our sins, hath quickened us, made us alive through the gift and testimony of the Holy Spirit, to reveal us in our sin and Christ in all his gracious glory. hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And dear friends, if by grace we are saved, then dear friends, he will be our glory. And we would wish to testify of that glory and that grace bestowed upon us. Made alive unto the straight and that narrow way, which is Jesus only, for our hope of eternal life. Before, we were dead in trespasses and in sins. Oh, this quickening, make us alive. That's how the Apostle Paul speaks of it, doesn't he? Our God, who created the light out of darkness, commanded it. That so shone in our lives, in our hearts, to reveal the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. A revelation, quickening power. Dear friends, this is the grace of God and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And those, dear friends, who have known this change of their heart from that which it was once, just full of this world, just full of, well, a self, and there may have been a religious way, it may have been that providential religion alone. But now, turned. And what has turned you? Was it not the knowledge of sin? Then no hope in and of yourself or in anything else, trembling at the word of God. That caused you and constrained you, didn't it, to cry for mercy. Now that's the beginning of that great work of grace, isn't it? That call by grace. That time when the Lord has mercy upon you. He knoweth them that are his, and they shall come. Even the Apostle Paul, separated from his mother's womb, but in time called by grace to reveal the knowledge of his Son within him. And that he then, yes, should preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. By the grace of God he testified, didn't he? By the grace of God, I am what I am. Oh, how the law became to Paul the witness that he was a dying sinner. When the more commandment came, sin revived and I died. Oh, dear friends, it's good when the law is made to us a schoolmaster. To lead us to Christ. No righteousness under the law. Oh yes, we may seek to do and do. And I hope we do those things which are right. In accordance with the word of God. But in the sight of a holy God. Who sees our hearts. Deceitful above all things. Desperately wicked. Our righteousnesses. Are as filthy rags. Is not pride mixed with everything? Are we not pleased with self? Do we not do many things just to get our own esteem and a good name amongst men? That's our earthly nature, isn't it? Sin is mixed with all we do. We are all as an unclean thing. And in the knowledge of this, the spiritual application of the law, we cry for mercy. And we are led to Jesus' blood. Nothing else to plead. And there to find that redemption. That power over sin. Oh, dear friends, what a wonderful truth it is. Is it in Jeremiah? Their Redeemer is strong. How strong has to be the power of that death. to blot out your sins and your transgressions from before a holy God. Power to lay down his life. Power to take it again. Oh, the sin, dear friends, that he carried of all his people. Laying down his life. Bearing all that sufferings on the cross in a physical sense, but the hiding of his Father's face in a spiritual sense. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? That all those whom the Father had given him would not be forsaken. No, they are loved with an everlasting love. And therefore, through this shed blood of Christ, through his death on Calvary's cross and the revelation of the Spirit by loving kindness to them, he draws them out of nature's darkness into his most marvellous light. Dear friends, this is the narrow way. This is the straight gate. Oh, can you be satisfied just with earthly things, providential things, when you have a soul that will be judged, and there's an eternity before us, and we're to either dwell in eternity with the devil and his angels because we know no grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, or to live with him in glory because of the manifestation of his grace. Oh, does not make us cry, give me Christ, or else I die. Is there any of you here tonight without that prayer? Oh, the Lord lead you to plead for his mercy and for his grace. Do some of you say, oh, I'm too great a sinner. I've sinned too much and I've sinned for too long. He will not have mercy upon me. You know, dear friends, Satan is a liar, isn't he? He walks around whom he may devour and keep from the blessings that God hath to impart. The Apostle Paul says, moreover, the law entered that the offence might abound. Now, is that your case tonight? The offence abounds. Sin. Oh, that heavy burden of sin upon your heart. He brings you down, he casts you down. You cannot remove it from you like John Bunyan's pilgrim cannot remove it off his back. Moreover, the law entered that the offence might abound. That's conviction of sin, isn't it? But where sin abounds, grace did much more abound. Where sin abounded unto the condemnation of my soul, and that's what you fear now, this grace abounds to the salvation of your soul. Dear friends, this grace is greater than the amount of your sin and iniquity and guilt. Or we may be sold under sin, and when something has to be redeemed, the price is greater to actually redeem it, to buy it back. So great is this grace, abounding over sin, that there's a blotting out of all transgressions. There's a remembering of the sin no more, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Now this is the word, isn't it, of the unsearchable riches of Christ, of his grace. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so my grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord, who was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. my grace is sufficient for thee. Friends, as Paul spoke there of this riches of his grace, bound up in redemption and forgiveness of sins, what are we redeemed from? Through the precious blood of Jesus. Well, we're redeemed, as Paul puts it, I think it's to the Galatians, we are redeemed from the curse. Christ being made a curse for us. Cursed is everyone that hangeth upon the tree. What are we redeemed to? I think we have it in the Revelation. When John looked into heaven, and he saw that Lamb who had the power to open the seven seals of that book of life. And they sung a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Oh, the Lord knoweth them that are his. They shall come. Guilty sinners, weeping, asking their way to Zion, and by the Spirit led to this footstool of mercy. Oh, by grace ye are saved through faith, the gift of God." What a grace that is, isn't it? To be bestowed upon guilty sinners. Dear friends, is this the object of our first desire? Jesus crucified for me. Then, dear friends, that grace, the knowledge of it, is going to be sufficient for you through the remainder of your life and through death unto eternal life. I like that testimony of the Apostle Paul when he was writing to Timothy. What a blessed work of grace was wrought in the heart and soul of the Apostle Paul, who was, he says, before a blasphemer, a persecutor, an injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. What a testimony that was, ignorant in unbelief. In nature's darkness, we are ignorant, aren't we? Oh, of our sinnership. Oh, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. The grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant above all that sin, above all nature's darkness, brought the Apostle Paul into that marvellous light to look by faith upon Christ and to know that he was the Son of God, and love which is in Christ Jesus, loved with an everlasting love. And that love, dear friends, manifested that love in Paul to the Lord. He loved the Lord because the Lord first loved him. Now, friends, those are the quickened sinners. Dear friends, have you got such love manifest in your heart through the grace of God that you have to say, "I love him because he's first loved me. He called me." Oh, through that grace to pour out my heart before him and confess all my sin and plead for him for his mercy. And there's been a peace. There's been a pardon. Your soul, your heart has been sealed in the mercy, through the mercy of God. through Christ Jesus. Then, dear friends, you can truly say, for ye know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, for your sake he became poor, that ye by his poverty might be made rich. You might be made rich. The riches of his grace. That becomes your treasure now, doesn't it? All divine. A treasure that is laid up in store for you in glory, where moth and rust cannot corrupt. Thieves cannot break through and steal. Satan cannot take it away from you. Oh, my grace is sufficient for thee. Your eternal life is secure. Once in him. In him forever. Thus the eternal covenant stands as the covenant of his grace. And no man can pluck you out of his hand. That gracious hand upon which you live, spiritually and providentially. My grace is sufficient for thee. Now, dear friends, this is a word of comfort, isn't it? To those whom the Lord hath called and blessed, as redeemed and pardoned. You still have to walk this earthly life, don't you? There's many temptations, there's many trials. Trials of your faith. Circumstances in your life which... oh, stir up that plague of unbelief which is still there through earthly nature. And your heart deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. You still have the lusts of the flesh. You still have your earthly spirit. You still have your self-will. You still have your pride and your prejudices and your judgments that you're better than others and ready to declare it and so on and so forth. Dear friend, you're still a guilty sinner. And you sin day by day. You sin hour by hour, moment by moment. And the Lord knows all these things. Nothing is hid from his sight. But dear friends, this word is true. My grace is sufficient for thee. Or you can look at this in many ways, can't you? With the emphasis on each of those words. My grace is sufficient for thee. My grace is sufficient for thee. My grace is sufficient for thee. My grace is sufficient for thee, and my grace is sufficient for thee. What an assurance. Dear friends, there's power and strength of the word of truth in each of these words, isn't there? In this expression. Now, the Apostle Paul had this sweet assurance spoken to him when he was greatly tried. The Apostle Paul had been shown great visions of revelation, which he said it was not lawful for a man to speak of. And dear friends, you know, the Lord knows our heart. The Apostle Paul still had a sinful heart with which he was born. He still had a heart of flesh. In my flesh, he said, dwelleth no good thing. O wretched man that I am. He was the chief of sinners. Dear friends, he had to be kept like that. Oh, if one's heart is left to itself, it'd be lifted up with pride, won't it? And to exalt oneself, that one is far better than others in experience, in understanding, even in the things of Christ and of God. Dear friends, that will never do. Christ alone is to be exalted. He forms a people for his praise. And the Apostle Paul had to be kept low. He had to have the balance, in other words. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Dear friends, what this was in detail we do not know, do we? But if it was a messenger of Satan, it was a lying spirit. How it perhaps attempted the Apostle Paul, oh, to look at the way he had been and still was as a sinner. Wasn't he murderous, injurious, as we read? Or perhaps Satan stirring him up, making him consider all those sins. What hope is there for you before a holy God in the day of judgment? And dear friends, it was a painful thing, whatever it was, because it was a thorn in the flesh, and that's very painful, isn't it? And thorns came as a consequence of the curse of the earth because of sin. So this would be a great trial of the Apostle Paul regarding his sinnership. Dear friends, how the circumstances of life can bring us there, can't they? And the Apostle Paul prayed three times that the Lord would remove it from him. But we don't read that he did. Perhaps that's why when Paul, towards the end of his life, testified of himself still as the chief of sinners. You know, dear friends, that's a good place to be. Because it's there. We have to depend completely upon that grace of the Lord Jesus Christ to blot out all our transgressions, to know that that blood of Christ cleanseth from all sin, to know that we depend upon his precious promises. Oh, I will never leave thee nor forsake. Lo, I am with thee always, even unto the end of the world. None can ever pluck thee out of my hand. None can ever pluck thee out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. And you are made one with Christ, who prayed, Father, pray for those who shall believe on me through their word, through the preaching of the gospel, that they may be one even as we are one. How is that possible? My grace is sufficient for thee. Nothing can remove the power of that grace, that redeeming love, that forgiveness of sins, that mercy to your soul, that everlasting love. Nothing can separate you from that love that is in Christ Jesus the Lord. You've been given unto him by the Father, chosen in Christ, in eternity past. Dear friends, we're lost now in wonder, love and praise, aren't we? That the Lord should know such a one as me, a sinner, in eternity past. To be born in accordance with his sovereign will at a particular time, in a particular place. And although carrying on being born in sin and iniquity upon this earth, he called me by grace into the knowledge of his love. And to keep me from the power of sin, deliver me from it, and even when I come to die, oh, that sin, all my transgressions will be blotted out, my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. My grace is sufficient for thee. There's our hope, isn't it? A good hope through grace of eternal life. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you unto myself. Dear friends, we shall be unworthy sinners, shan't we? We shan't be any better. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Dear friends, all things come for a purpose. And how we need the circumstances of our lives to keep us in the knowledge of the weakness of our flesh spiritually. Or we may be very strong physically. But dear friends, we need to be broken-hearted sinners, dependent upon this grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that to be all our glory. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of Christ, where the redemption price was paid, where there was the forgiveness of sins, and to rejoice in a risen Saviour. Because I live, ye shall live also. Oh, my strength, says the Lord, is made perfect in your weakness. And so the Apostle Paul, under the influence of the power of this word imparted to him in answer to his prayer, when I am weak, then am I strong. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. There was his faith, there was his trust, given to him through the grace of Christ, through the grace of God, to depend upon him in all things, humbled beneath the mighty hand of God, that he, God, would exalt him in due time, casting all his care upon him, knowing he cares for you. Dear friends, that grace will never fail. That grace will work out all things together for your spiritual good. That in that last day, it will be Jesus only. Jesus only. All things upon this earth would have been taken away. They shall be taken away. And we shall only have the desire to awake in his likeness. As David said, I shall be satisfied when I awake in thy likeness. How can that be so? What guilty sinners are such as we to wake in the likeness of Christ in heaven? My grace is sufficient for thee. Oh, dear friends, there's no more precious thing, is there, than this grace wrought out by Jesus Christ. There was a warning, wasn't there, given by Paul. Shall we sin that grace may abound? God forbid. You know, dear friends, those under the influence of the grace of the Lord will not desire to sin. Sin will be a hateful thing. Sin will be exceedingly sinful. Oh, these poor Corinthians. Paul had to speak against them, didn't he, for what they had done. Their sins of fornication, lasciviousness, uncleanness, and oh, there was debates, envyings, wrath, strifes, backbitings, whisperings, swellings, tumults. Dear friends, there was still the influence of their earthly nature. But shall they continue that grace may abound? God forbid, no. Dear friends, there will be true repentance, true pleading forgiveness whenever we transgress. Under the grace, dear friends, we come to know sin more and more and more. Things which weren't sinful once, they may well be sinful now. And that's how we grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord. As we grow in the knowledge of our sinfulness, our vileness, oh, our wretchedness. We're ever learning, aren't we, how great a sinner we are. Dear friends, the one who perceives the greatest grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who knows himself as the greatest sinner. How precious is that grace, precious is that sin atoning blood. Unto you that believe he, Jesus, is precious. Oh, dear friends, to be made a quickened soul, that it may be so with us. We find that the Lord, that Paul, in virtually all his epistles, prays that those to whom he's writing know the grace of God. Grace of the God and the Lord Jesus Christ be unto you. And as he finishes the epistles, he's still writing of grace. As he did at the end of this epistle, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Dear friends, it's my desire, prayerful desire, that each of you and myself may know and be confirmed in this grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the redemption of our souls, the forgiveness of our sins, and be kept humbly at his feet throughout our life, in death, and to dwell with him forevermore. These are they who have come out of great tribulation, washed their robes, made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, what, where would we be without that grace? May each of us be a sinner, saved by grace. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Sadler will preach next Lord's Day. There'll be a prayer meeting on Monday evening, and Mr. Pocock will preach on Tuesday evening. Let us close with hymn 921. In union with the Lamb, from condemnation free, the saints from everlasting were and shall forever be. In 921.
do bless thine own word unto each one of us. May we know what it is to be within that covenant of thy grace, revealed within our heart by the Holy Ghost and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost abide with you each, now and forevermore. Amen.